Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are going to continue the Whispered Madness saga with tides of dread. Suddenly, a thick bank of grey fog sweeps towards you along the street, silently devouring everything in its path. We shall begin. And here, once again, we have the same quotes as we had in the previous two episodes. So, no need for me to read them again. Because, I mean, you want to hear them again. I mean, you could play the game. But it'll take you quite a while to get to this point. But you'll be having fun the entire way. I assure you. Or you might have already played all these adventures, in which case, can't see the quotes because they only turn up at the start of them. So if you can't do those two, you can just listen to the two podcasts back. I prefer the first two. Because I'd rather have the GM get money than me. Because I'm doing fine. You turn and look back along the empty street, one of the countless lanes snaking through the maze of dilapidated structures that sidle up the Witherport's bustling quayside, and spend a few tense moments seeking to validate the nagging suspicion you're being followed. The lengthening shadows creeping across the wan slick stone of the deserted street serve to complete a lonely, unnerving scene. The unbearable silence of disquiet. An unwelcome, unshakable companion since you returned to Adderstone. The Adderstone is almost complete, almost crippling, despite your growing unease. Nothing anywhere along the empty lane suggests you've been followed. In fact, you're not entirely certain why you even entertained the notion. Even though you're not yet prepared to abandon it, the piercing cry of a gull soaring over the city, its wings spread wide against a backdrop of deep, churning grey, is enough to make you momentarily question your unfounded fear. There is no evidence you're being followed. You're suddenly certain of it. Of course, you're also certain of it just a few minutes ago. And again, just a few minutes prior to that. Yeah, I think I have some sort of madness. A whispered madness. But hopefully, not that bad. Still endeavouring to silence your nagging fears, you reach a junction at the end of the street, where a deserted lane runs into a much wider way that slopes down towards the quay. Across from you, set back slightly from the broad intersection, stands the rotting shell of a tall abandoned structure that was, most recently, a tavern and a boarding house. A handful of derelicts, some sleeping, others milling about in heaps of debris, milling about heaps of debris that choke an adjacent crumbling courtyard, provide a sharp reminder that not all have benefited from the city's resurgence as a hub for commerce. Yes, it's quite a lot of work to spread the prosperity all around. You require someone like, Gordon Brown or something. Of course he didn't do it himself, but he did. He and I guess Tony Blair helped too a little bit, but I think, mostly mostly from his side, reduced homelessness by a lot. And then along came a certain boring guy and ruined it. As you draw closer to the wacky figures, several of them approach you, asking you if any gold to spare. I don't have gold, but I do have some copper and some silver, which is manifested as gold here because it's the default in fantasy is that you just forget the lower denomination currencies. You just forget about them. Probably because you don't really want to have this fiddly thing where you have to constantly change up and down your currencies all the time. And that's a bit of a pig, even if it's decimal. But they don't necessarily have to be decimal. I mean, going back to the good old pounds. I mean, you had 12 copper pennies to a silver shilling, and 20 silver shillings to a pound, and there's a few other middly things in as well in there, and there's the guinea, which is just a mess, really. Just a mess of a coin. Absolute mess. Yeah, of course, the reason like that, because that's just the ratio of value between copper, silver, and gold. Just that gold is around about, I mean, it goes up and down a bit, around about 20 times as much as silver. And silver is around about 20 times as much as gold. I might be wrong, but something to do with something like that. As you draw closer to the ragged figures, several of them approaching, asking for any gold to spare. I have some gold. Five of the ragged figures pressing around you. Seem you're aware you're about to hand them some gold. So I can give them 1 gold, 5 gold, 10 gold, 25 gold, 50 gold, or 100 gold. Well, I might as well just give them 100. The waggy band surrounding you seem profoundly grateful for the gold you've given them and thank you repeatedly. You wish them the best, we bid them farewell, and prepare to set off on your way. And I think I'm going to set off my way very quickly before I get a reputation as an incredibly generous person. Because, I probably do have enough gold. I only have 3,170 gold. But if I did a little bit of grinding for a while, I can get enough gold to get every single one of them out of poverty. Although, that'd be more gold being brought into the economy. But there wouldn't really be any extra more goods or services to soak it up. So it might have an inflationary effect. Yeah, but maybe that the more goods and services will come in because they're buying them. So, probably alright. I'm pretty sure that the Keynesian multiplier of me giving money to various people who are having a very bad time indeed would be more than enough to prevent any sort of inflationary stuff. Or like say when I buy weapons and armor, that's probably could have more. Well, anyway, this is a heroic adventure. It's not a simulation of an entire economy, so we'll never know. Because if you do, people just complain anyway. It's like, it doesn't take into account this thing. yeah, well, that thing doesn't really exist. Or something like that. You wish them the best, bid them farewell, and prepare to set off on your way. As you make your way along the sloping lane that leads towards the wharfs, you once again overcome by the nagging sense you're being followed. Your first instinct is to put that eerie feeling out of your mind and continue along your way, but the unsettling notion proves too strong to ignore. With your every nerve on edge, you turn back and stare along the street. Hey, maybe I'll just ask the shadows if they've seen anything. Well, I do, but they don't say anything. Because shadows be like that sometimes. And maybe the dead are following me. There's like, hey, it's a croaking turn. Can you give us something to do? We're so bored. Every nerve on edge, you turn and stare back along the street. Much to relief, nothing stirs anywhere along the empty street behind you. As your eyes scour the buildings that flank the deserted lane, you become aware of a soft, rumbling sound that seems to come from every direction. The unnerving noise, eerily akin to the muffled, mournful roar of some distant beast, continues to bode until you suddenly realise the bellow is only in your mind. Gripped by an inexplicable and rising sense of terror, you desperately struggle to silence the echoing cry. Well, here's the going mad check. Picking a number, bonus for 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Gotta get 100 or more, or go just a little bit more crazy. Pick now. 80, failure. Looks like I'm going just a little bit more crazy. The muffled roar rapidly fades into a mere whisper, but its passing leaves you rattled, your mind racing to peer to get piece together a jumble of disconnected thoughts. Suddenly, overcome by profound weakness, you sink to your knees at the edge of the street, struggling to draw breath. Although admittedly it's slightly less dramatic for Sir Croakington, energy is very, very small. After nearly a minute, when the last retreating hisses a little more than a distinct memory, you stagger to your feet, thankful to have survived the terrifying episode. Suddenly, a thick bank of grey fog sweeps towards you along the street, silently devouring everything in its path. With no hope of outrunning the fog, you steel yourself to meet the churning wall of vapour. Within seconds, you're completely engulfed in a sea of frigid mist, unable to see more than a few feet in any direction. Without warning, the inky silhouette of an old bent man appears out of the fog and slowly lurches towards you. You seek me, but it would be best to leave me unfound. Issues a soft, waspy voice from somewhere close to the looming silhouette. My imprisonment is by design. My torture by necessity. You cannot free me, for neither can you prevent a fate already determined. That's a hard voice to do. As the shadowy figure draws closer, leaning heavily on a thin cane, a wave of fear passes over you. Picking a number, bonus of 60, 20 from mind, 20 from horror, 20 from spirit. Gotta get 100 or more or lose even more of my mind. Pick now. 156. Success! But, you know, I don't know if that's got past the mind I previously lost, or just means I don't lose any more. Your body trembles as you fight to stave off the fear gnawing at your very core of your being. Suddenly, the spent silhouette of the old man straightens into an imposing, sword-wielding figure of shadow. A deafening roar erupts inside your mind, shattering nearly all semblance of thought as the shadow swordsman lunges at you, his blade of gloom slicing silently through the air as a shadow weeper. It's got 11 plus. And I don't think I chose anything to be scaled, so I guess that's just part of the madness. It makes things scaled. Oh, and also I've lost all my Neville Reserve at some point. That's a pity. The Shadow Weeper slashes at you. Keep slashing, I keep bashing. Yeah, this without my Neville Reserve, I have quite a few less options to get me out of trouble. But I mean, I still have some. I have my Quick Stones, I have my wand of Dragon Fire. I have my Where's my tallies thing? Did I use them all up? Or can I just not use them here? But anyway. You've slain your foe. Maybe I'll put it somewhere. Tallies. No, I'm gonna check something. But if I do have it, it's because it doesn't work on. It's not showing up because it doesn't work on scaled foes. Probably because. Just because. 24 XP. As the tattered remnants of the shadow being slowly fade from view, two more silhouettes emerge from the fog and come to stand before you. The figure on the left, his hands gripping the haft of a heavy axe, glanced at his counterpart, the shadow of a tall, slender woman brandishing a long staff. In the forest, the greatest darkness was conceived, issues the same soft, raspy voice from somewhere between the two figures. But it is real? What great secret is protected by such a construct of madness? Oh, they are definitely referring to Wagner's mad labyrinth. Great, perhaps. Terrible. Perhaps that as well. It would be best to recognize the limits of one's purpose. As the silhouettes step forward in unison, a powerful sense of fear washes over you. Picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 from mind. 20 from aura. 20 from spirit. 100 or more. Or go mad with fear. Pick now. 166. Success! For now, you tremble slightly as you struggle to avoid a stream of vivid, gruesome images taking form amidst your thoughts. A low roar rumbles through your mind as the two Shadow Weepers surge forward and attack, brandishing their weapons of gloom. Remarkable speed and precision. It's two Shadow Weepers. They're both fighting at the same time. Which is perhaps why they're scaling. It's a 13 plus roll. Well, I've now got two Quickstone 20 stored. I'll help in a pinch. Just a little pinch, not a big pinch. Shadow Weepers savagely attack you. Devastating blow for 33. Devastating blow for 26. I go into battle rage, so I'm going to use my aggressive fights while I have a chance. Even if it's only doing 18 damage a roll because it's a 13 plus scale, because that's just how it is. Generally, if the need to roll is higher, you just have a worse time in general. Shadow Weepers savagely attack you, and they are slain. Whew. 25 XP. As the last vestiges of the shadowy foes vanish, the black silhouette of the massive wolf steps out of the churning fog. The fearsome creature snarls viciously, lowering its head as it slowly encroaches upon you. The greatest of your fears is ever before you. Issues a familiar, soft, waspy voice from somewhere in the fog to the left. But your terror, unspoken as it may be,
is a deceptive notion. You need not fear. What is you have come to know as fearsome. You must begin to fear that which you trust. For it is, and will prove to be, unworthy of that trust.
Once again, a powerful wave of fear assails you. Picking a number. It's the go mad check. Plug bonus 60, success 100, or go mad, pick now. 82, failure. You tremble uncontrollably as a chorus of hideous screams erupt in your mind, supplanting reason with abject terror. Well, that didn't go well. A long, ghastly howl surges through your mind. I have got the gem. Yeah, I've got the square eye amulet equipped. A long ghastly howl surges through your mind as the wolf silhouette leaps at you and attacks, tearing at your flesh with its fangs and claws of shadow. It's a shadow weeper, and it is in the form of a wolf. And this has black difficulty, which means unless I pull out something or get very lucky, I will lose. I mean, most rounds, I don't do any damage at all. It just tears at me. I rolled a 17 and it was 4-4. 19, I did better. Okay. I'm going to use the Quickstone 20s. They only do 10 damage each, so not really that much use. Okay. Wand of Dragonfire. A deafening roar fills the air as a powerful breath of fire explodes from the tip of your iron wand. The enemies consumed by the ravaging flames, taking 163 points of damage. I also swing my club, but that didn't do anything. One, because it wasn't a very good swing, and two, because it's already exploded. It is slain. 26 XP. A faint whimpering replaces the fading howl still echoing through your mind as the wolf of shadow topples over and vanishes. Before you can catch your breath, the massive rotund silhouette of an armoured man steps out of the fog and comes to stand before you. The imposing being of shadow folds his arms and widens his stance.
The wardens in the forest, the keepers of the light, have yet to play a role in what is to come.
That must be the Bale Wards with their Bale Ward cast keep and all, and their generally just seeming to be the only people who are keeping the forest in check. Well, I'm sure Wagner's trying his best, but he's engaged in many other things. Issues the familiar, soft, waspy voice from somewhere behind the hulking figure.
You now choose, for it is time of choosing. And you shall ever be bound to that which you choose. It is yours alone.
The massive being of shadow takes a single step back as two inky portals open before you. You feel immediately compelled to step into one of the churning gates. So I can go to the left or the right, or remain where I am. There is absolutely no... There's no skill checks I can use to give me some clues about where to go. Even if I had any Neville Reserve left, I couldn't use magic to help out. Nothing in this text really indicates which is better. Unless there's some sort of deep analysis that I'm not grasping onto. Which I'm not going to put aside, but I don't think, pretty sure there isn't. So I can go left, right, or remain where I am. As usual, when I have no idea what to do, I shall return to random.org, number between 1 and 3, Number two, I'm going to the white. The instant you step into the inky portal, your surroundings melt away in a dense sense of calm passes over you. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's more madness. Several moments later, the darkness engulfs you, lifts, and you find yourself standing in the centre of a cavernous stone chamber, directly before a towering obelisk. A pale yellow light illuminates the vast room. After gazing about the otherwise empty chamber, and finding no apparent exits, you cautiously approach the obelisk. Three of the many engraved symbols cover the obelisk's surface aglowing. Each of the three symbols is surrounded by a dazzling blue aura. Blue auras, they're usually a good thing. Protruding from the obelisk, just beneath the tree of the glowing buttons, is a square stone button. What if I touch the glowing symbols? So it's one or the other as far as I can see. Touch the glowing symbols or press the stone button. I'm going to touch the glowing symbols. As your hand approaches the glowing symbols, the blue aura surrounding the engraved shape suddenly vanishes. A split second later, the blue glow appears around another three symbols. Three of the many engraved symbols that cover the obelisk surface are glowing. Each of the three symbols, a star, a triangle, another star, is surrounded by a dazzling blue aura. Protruding from the obelisk, just beneath the tree of the glowing symbols, is a square stone button. What if I touch them again? Touch them again. Triangle, star, triangle. Touch them again. Triangle, circle, circle. Square, square, star. A circle, star, and a square. A square, a star, and a circle. A star, and a star. Yeah, okay, three glowing stars. This is either a very good thing or a very bad thing. Now, it looks like if I press the stone button, I just accept whatever it is those stars do. Because apparently you can just randomise between square, circle, triangle and star and just keep spinning them around as you get what you want, and you have no idea what you want because you have no idea what's going on. I'm just picking star, star, star because I think things with more... I have this notion, which might be from previous playthroughs or might just be entirely arbitrary. Because, I mean, this is Whispered Madness. Many things are entirely arbitrary. That the star, because it has more points and sides, is better. Or maybe that's just worse. I'm going to press the stone button anyway. The instant you press the stone button, the blue glow surrounding the three engraved symbols disappears. With barely a whisper, a swirling black portal opens to the white of the obelisk. Step into the portal. This as you step into the portal, your surroundings melt away, replaced by frigid, total darkness. Terrifying images flood your mind as a silent war tears through your thoughts, clawing at the very fabric of your reason, picking a number. It's bonus. Bonus 60, 20 aura, 20 mind, 20 spirit. Gotta get 100 or more to keep whatever fragments of my fabric of reason remain. Pick now. 96, failure. Your will buckles as you fail to suppress the nightmare's images screaming through your mind. You cry out in anguish as the fog engulfing you lifts. And you find yourself back on fog-shrouded lane in Twithic, again facing the fearsome silhouette of a renowned armoured figure. Okay. I hope we don't have another fight, because with this little madness, I don't think I'll be able to take it. Especially since I don't have a wand of drug. Wait, do I have the Finger of Dread still? Finger of Dread. Because that's the other... thing. Okay, I can use it two more times. I still have the Finger of Dread to get me out of problems. Okay, I should be able to handle one more fight if it turns up, but probably not two. You cry out in anguish as the darkness. The fearsome silhouette, the rotund armoured figure. As the hulking silhouette draws a massive axe of shadow and steps forward, you defiantly draw yourself into defensive stance, prepared to face down the fearsome being. It's a hulking shadow weeper. Fortunately, we've only got purple difficulty here, so I think I should be able to get through this. Begin combat. The shadow weeper swipes at you with his massive axe. Keep going. Smasher wallops it. I want to get into a battle wage. Come on, give me a battle wage. Keep going. Devastating blow for 28 damage. Okay, I'm doing bad. I am doing bad. Devastating blow for 37 damage. That leaves me at 49 health. So, Quickstone. The Quickstone shimmers and glows bright red as it fully heals you. That is an advantage you get when you play through these scenarios slowly. It's that pretty much every time you do a new thing, you have both Quickstone heals to get you through it. But admittedly, it's very rare that you'd actually need them. Swing my club. Devastating blow for 28 damage. Smasher wallops it. 14. Keep going. Come on, let's... The Quickstone will repeat the 20 you just rolled next round. So, go into aggressive. I still only do 18 damage, but it's something. Definitely something. Devastating blow for 33 damage. Come on, let's have a battle wage or something. Devastating blow for 31 damage. 17 damage. Another 17 damage. 10 damage. Devastating blow for 29 damage. I'm down to 30 damage, so we're going to use the other Quickstone heal. Blimey. Two Quickstone heals used on a rather regular combat. Well, I've still got... Oh, into the battle wage. Which means I do 18 damage a hit, which... And since I'm rolling a 20, it doesn't do any regular damage. It might still do a special. Oh, I'm so close. It's at 3%. I'm at 93. And slain! Finally! 27 XP. A savage war, its primal resonance silent but deafening, surges through your mind as the massive being of shadow staggers forward and sinks to one knee before abruptly vanishing.
The wardens in the forest keep the light, issues the familiar, soft,
raspy voice from somewhere out of your fog to your right.
And a voiceless, stable hand will but retain strength enough to open the gate. While a shopkeeper in this very city is the only one who knows. And the wanderer may yet live. Forever you must now endeavour to again be that, to be what was, to be that. Be what was never was.
Okay, the voiceless stable hand, that's definitely Prince Iacor, who has been punished by Woundskin with a fate that's way, way worse than death. Yes. Apparently he's going to play a role again. Somehow. I don't know. I don't think he's got enough mind, but maybe someone could trick him. Presumably Galoris, because Gloras definitely wants to overthrow Woundskin. And Prince Iacor probably still retains a lot of the power he once had. He's just really dumb. So if he was pushed around in the right way, then maybe he could presumably have a role to play yet. As the voice fades, the fog rapidly lifts, and you are relieved to discover you're once again on the deserted lane in Twythic. For you're no longer certain you were ever anywhere else. In fact, as you start along the street, resuming what you remember is the reason for your visit to this part of the city, you find you can only recall shattered bits of the disturbing scenario of which you just passed. By the time you reach the end of the lane and turn into a broader street that runs up the quayside, you've managed to convince yourself that your scant recollection of the strange episode is quite beyond what you're prepared to accept as reality. Well, it's not reality, but that doesn't mean it can't kill you. And that, anyway, that ends this adventure with 1,024 experience to general, and 128 experience to all skills and powers. Now let's see what else doing this has unlocked. It's done an adventure, which is also in Twythic, called To the Rescue. So I guess we should save. Maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe all these sanity checks I've failed have really messed up what I'm going to try next. But, well, I'm saving anyway. And the adventure is called, yep, it's To the Rescue. With a startled shriek ringing in your ears, you rush across the lane to bravely engage the vile creatures swarming about the terrified woman. Now, who is this terrified woman? Who are the creatures she's shrieking about? Is any of that actually happening? And if something is happening, what is it? If anything? Well, I guess you'll find that out in the next episode. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.